Chapter 86. I'm being held captive, the provost sensed as he paced the interior of the parked C-130 transport plane. He had agreed to go to Istanbul to help Sinsky avert this crisis before it went completely out of control. Not lost on the provost was the fact that cooperating with Sinsky might help mitigate any punitive backlash he might suffer for his inadvertent involvement in this crisis. But now Sinsky has me in custody. As soon as the plane had parked inside the government hangar at Ataturk Airport, Sinsky and her team had deplaned, and the head of the WHO ordered the provost and his few consortium staff members to stay aboard. The provost had attempted to step outside for a breath of air, but had been blocked by the stone-faced pilots, who reminded him that Dr. Sinsky had requested that everyone remain aboard. Not good, the provost thought, taking a seat as the uncertainty of his future truly began to settle in. The provost had long been accustomed to being the puppet master, the ultimate force that pulled the strings. And yet suddenly, all of his power had been snatched from him. Zobrist, Sienna, Sinsky, they had all defied him, manipulated him even. Now, trapped in the strange windowless holding cell of the WHO's transport jet, he began to wonder if his luck had run out, if his current situation might be a kind of karmic retribution for a lifetime of dishonesty. I lie for a living. I am a purveyor of disinformation. While the provost was not the only one selling lies in this world, he had established himself as the biggest fish in the pond. The smaller fish were a different breed altogether, and the provost disliked even to be associated with them. Available online, businesses with names like the Alibi Company and Alibi Network made fortunes all over the world by providing unfaithful spouses with a way to cheat and not get caught, promising to briefly stop time so their clients could slip away from husband, wife, or kids. These organizations were masters at creating illusions, fake business conventions, fake doctor's appointments, even fake weddings, all of which included phony invitations, brochures, plane tickets, hotel confirmation forms, and even special contact numbers that rang at Alibi Company switchboards, where trained professionals pretended to be whatever receptionist or contact the illusion required. The provost, however, had never wasted his time with such petty artifice. He dealt solely with large-scale deception, plying his trade for those who could afford to pay millions of dollars in order to receive the best service. Governments, major corporations, the occasional ultra-wealthy VIP. To achieve their goals, these clients would have at their disposal all of the consortium's assets, personnel, experience, and creativity. Above all, though, they were given deniability, the assurance that whatever illusion was fabricated in support of their deception could never be traced to them.